Good morning, everyone. It is May the 18th, 2016, and you're listening to another episode of Husbo and Sweetie. My name is Husbo, and pardon the wonderful sounds of birds singing and the sound of me walking and the sounds of cars. I am recording this during my morning constitutional. I recently moved house, and doing that has gotten me a lot closer to work, and that in turn has enabled me to actually get some exercise in the morning, which is really nice. I used to go for a little run in my old house when I had my old job, but with my new job I had to get up earlier and go a little farther. So now I'm able to walk, and give me a few minutes. So I thought, why not do my audio boom about the movie I recently saw entitled Captain America Civil War, or as it's known in Japan, Civil War : Captain America. I don't know which way it's supposed to be. Maybe it's that way in America too. Anyway, there will be spoilers in this review / discussion. One person discussion. Is it discussion for one person? I guess not. There will be spoilers. I'm going to talk about the other films in the franchise, the whole Avengers phase, the whole Marvel MCU, plus spoilers of this new movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, then that's your warning. I'll also put that in the written episode title, so you'll know. Anyway, so Captain America Civil War is the third film Captain America franchise. The current one, not any of that old... God, was it Roger Corman? I know he did the Fantastic Four movies. I don't remember who did the Captain America movies from the, whatever they were, the 60s or 70s. But anyway, this is the Marvel Studios MCU version. And it covers a very, I don't know if you'd call it controversial or infamous story arc in the Marvel Universe, in which people basically get fed up with superheroes and say, y'all need to... tell us who you are and register with the government so that we can kind of keep tabs on you, because a bunch of people got killed in this thing. I don't remember how it happened. I keep going back to the Ultimates in my head, where like the Hulk went nuts and like went on a rampage, but I know that's not what happened. It was Nitro, was it, who blew up a city block or something? Anyway, so in the movie here, it uses a lot of the Winter Soldier, who was in the last movie, who was arguably one of the best MCU movies so far. It's followed up by this one. Winter Soldier plays a pretty pivotal role in this movie. In fact, he's kind of the crux of the whole thing. Captain America, being a friend of Bucky Barnes, who became the Winter Soldier, is kind of going on this quest to redeem his friend, because in the end, he's being blamed... Winter Soldier is being blamed for things he's not doing. And he's also under some kind of, sleeper agent mind control and being forced to do things he doesn't want to do. Suffice it to say, there's a big battle. Captain America does not want to sign these accords, which basically say that due to the events of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron... that movie was a hot mess. Due to the events of that and other stuff, the Avengers have to, and all superheroes, it sounds... Actually, that's one thing they never mention, if it's all superheroes, if it's just the Avengers. Or maybe they did say it and I was just wasn't paying attention. But all superheroes have to follow this panel of UN dudes and dudettes who will decide where they can go and how they operate. Captain America doesn't like it. Iron Man says, yeah, it's good, because he's feeling guilty about killing people accidentally. That's where we go from there. Superheroes battle, Iron Man's side versus Captain America's side, with the Winter Soldier kind of, driving things with his storyline. So what did I think of the movie? Let's go through each thing, I guess. First of all, the story itself. One thing I was a little disappointed by, and this is just... the more I thought about it, the less I'm disappointed by it. was in the comic series of Civil War, the thing that the superheroes have to do is the Superhero Registration Act, which forces them to reveal their secret identity to the world. You know, they have to in order to be registered. And famously, Spider-Man is one of the first people to do it on live TV. And it caused a whole bunch of problems that they had to, rewrite. Ah, gosh, my vocabulary is going down the toilet. Anyway, they were forced to retake that whole thing back later because it messed up so much in their storyline. But as I said, it bothers me less and less because, especially in the MCU, they really haven't been concerned with secret identities at all, if you think about it. The original Spider-Man movies, the Sony travesties, were all... I'm sorry, I really didn't like them. Either the original ones or Amazings. But they were a lot more concerned with secret identity and protecting the ones you love because they could be harmed if the villain knew who your loved ones were. But actually, like, in... I can't remember ever. Like, Iron Man was the first in the series. Or one of the first, right? Besides the Hulk and Incredible Hulk and all that. And by the way, right here, you're going to find the only fan of the Ang Lee, Eric Bana Hulk on Earth. Love that movie. But he reveals his identity. Everybody calls Captain America Steve Rogers, so they know who he is on TV broadcasts and stuff. Thor is a god. I'm not sure about the Hulk if they ever say, like, Dr. Bruce Banner on the news, but none of the Avengers, I don't think, have secret identities. I guess you could say, like, the Black Panther is in this movie. He takes his mask off in front of everybody after the end of a big chase. Ant-Man, I guess, but nobody really knows who he is, and it's kind of funny because even when there's a moment where Iron Man meets Ant-Man without his costume, and he's like, who are you? And Ant-Man just goes, oh, come on, man. Like, nobody really gives a shit who Ant-Man is, and it's kind of funny. And then, of course, Spidey, who is introduced in this movie as part of the MCU, rather. When I keep saying MCU, I'm sorry, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm sure anyone who's actually listening to this knows what that means. But yeah, in terms of the story, I think it did a really good job with the source material. I think it's paced really well. There's an awful lot of quiet moments in it, which is nice. But it goes kind of nuts when it has to. Yeah, overall, like, no really big problems with the story. Like, Winter Soldier was really good as well. In fact, the first Avenger, which is the first Captain America movie, is probably the weakest of all three. And it wasn't a terrible movie. It just wasn't anything compared to these. And in fact, I've said it before, too, that I think Civil War is more Avengers 3 than anything else. The amount of time that's given to other heroes, the amount of screen time given to non-Captain America characters is really pretty awesome. And I think it's good that they used his movie as a springboard to get them farther through the story while also making it about him. It's quite a masterful juggling job. And also to get so many other heroes introduced who will be, you know, integral to the next phase of the films. I don't know if there's another Iron Man movie coming. I know there's another Thor coming. And they do set that up in this movie, saying, like, do you know where Thor or the Hulk are? And nobody seems to really know. They just kind of, like, fuck off whenever they want to. Pardon the language, by the way. But from what I've heard, the next film is Thor Ragnarok, I guess. It's been described as an intergalactic road trip movie with the Hulk and Thor, and that just sounds amazing to me. Like, I cannot wait. And them not being in this one at all, even in the post-credit scenes, is a smart kind of leaves you wanting to see them, which I think is really cool. I guess that keeps it from being a full-fledged Avengers movie, but you do have Vision, you've got Scarlet Witch, you've got Black Widow, and you've got Hawkeye for a little bit there. Hawkeye does the famous shooting the arrow with Ant-Man on top of it. And can we just take a moment to say, like, Ant-Man is the best? He's really great. And we'll get to why later. But yeah, it also introduces Spidey in, I think, the best way that any film has done Spider-Man so far, except for the 70s Japanese Spider-Man TV show, which is, thank the Lord, is now making the rounds in GIF form all over the internet because of his introduction to the MCU. People have been posting GIFs of his zany adventures in this Japanese 70s TV show, which is fucking terrible. And it's funny because you will see some shows in Japan get the GOT licensing back in the day and just had no idea what the character of the story was about, and it's just, it's amazingly, amazingly shite. So I'm sure you've already seen some of those around. But anyway, he's introduced well, he's written well, he has a Queen's accent, thank you. Aunt May is introduced as younger, which I think is good. Delivers a little bit of freshness to the character, instead of making her the frail old, like, 90-year-old woman that she is in every other thing. Which, I mean, that's closer to the comic originally, but it's funny because I really hated the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and The Amazing as well. It wasn't as bad, but I really minded the changes they made. But with the MCU, I know they're making so many changes, and I don't seem to mind. And I think it's because it doesn't necessarily surpass the original, but it complements it in a way, or it uses the things it needs to make a good story. And knowing that it's Marvel doing it, and people who understand the characters doing it, I think is what makes it better, rather than like it being sold to this outside company who does, like, or going in a new direction, has no connection to anything else. Anyway, but Spider-Man gets way more screen time than I expected. And as a workmate said, who is a huge Spidey fan as well, if you had to ask me my two favorite heroes, I'd say, yeah, the Hulk and Spidey, but definitely Spider-Man is right up there. He is way in over his head, and he's joking around just like he does in the comics, and he's really young, and he's pretty much kicking a lot of ass. At first, especially when the other characters in the battle don't know what he's capable of, except for Iron Man, who recruits him, like, it's pretty awesome to see him, like, swinging around, and, you know, like, nobody kind of knows what he's up to. They're all kind of flabbergasted by him, and he eventually gets bested, kind of, by Captain America, who, you know, kind of accepts his abilities while also defeating him. But it's a great introduction for Spidey into the MCU. I'm really excited to see Homecoming, which is his next film, his first film in the MCU. But I think it was smart for them to skip over his origin story and get directly into him being in the universe, because he's already been doing it for 6 months, according to Civil War, which I think is smart. We've seen his origin enough times, thank you very much. We don't need to see it a third time, even though I know Marvel would do a way better job with it than Sony ever did. Let's see, what else? Music? Yeah, music was fine. Music is always fine in these movies. The typical driving, bombastic music that it always has. Not particularly stand out or not. Special effects, really great, of course. A little bit too much CG. I felt it was really, really reliant on CG, and it's a little more obvious for some reason. But at the same time, it was, of course, it's necessary. But there's been a lot more practical effects and wire and stuff in the previous movies, and that's kind of disappearing, and you're actually seeing CG complementing some of the fights, the fist fights, which I don't like. There's a couple fights near the end where you can see Winter Soldier and Captain America have both been CG'd over, and it's very noticeable, especially during next to the fully CG Iron Man, which is kind of a shame. Because, I mean, these dudes are, like, heavily trained and ripped. Like, there's no reason that they can't do... maybe it's to make stuff like the Black Widow's fight scenes more memorable, because that's all practical. But it's a little bit of a shame for me, because the stuff where Captain America's fighting soldiers and he's, like, kicking the dude through a window, like, those guys are getting really thrown around, and that looks amazing, and it gives you a sense of the power that these heroes have. And then to see, like, the heroes fighting each other, and it's, like, 90% CG. It's just like, well, now I'm just watching an animated film, basically, and that's a little sad. Oh, of course, when they're flying around and stuff, I understand that, but ground hand-to-hand combat doesn't have to be all CG. Anyway, what else? But yeah, it did have some of the best fight scenes. Like, Winter Soldier was the last one to have great fight scenes before this, and, you know, this continues that honorable tradition. And a lot of people have been asking me, like, is this the best one? Because people have been talking so much about this, and it has such an infamous history in the comics. And, you know, that was really recent, 2007, I think, 2006, 2007. They're already doing Civil War II. So it has quite a heft in the comic industry. I would say that Captain America has probably the most solid films in terms of the story they're telling and the scope of the world that they're trying to bring in. And the biggest things have happened in Captain America movies in terms of moving the universe forward. But it's pretty amazing that both Winter Soldier and this one both are smaller in scale. There's no floating city. There's no invasion of aliens. We don't have any Thanos. We don't have any, world-ending thing here. But, as the coworker pointed out, the other movies allow things like this to happen, because we see the doubts of Tony Stark in Iron Man 3, even though that's not a great movie. We see, God-level aliens fighting each other in Guardians of the Galaxy, which, for my money, I think is the best MCU movie. Because it's so unexpected and so perfect. It's just so great. I'm getting chills thinking of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I cannot wait to see how they get incorporated into the rest of the MCU. Because they have said that they will be eventually meeting the other heroes. I cannot wait. I'm sure it'll be around the Thanos time. Probably the Infinity War or whatever it's called. Oh, they changed the name. But the fact that these stories are all building on each other instead of just giving the finger to the previous movie, which is what most series do, is say, like, they're back, they're better, they're badder than ever. And you're sort of led to believe that the last movie you saw was inferior, because this one, oh no, things are going up a notch. But with these movies, they are using everything. And you feel, as a moviegoer and as someone witnessing a story, that you're being rewarded by participating in all of these, that there's a history being built, and you are, as I said, rewarded by knowing the history of the characters, and by, there's not a lot of exposition. They don't have time for that. Just like a comic would. They may mention an event in passing, but because the characters all know what it is, it's not overtly stated. You need to know what happened. And it's really rewarding as a moviegoer to go in and know that whole history and not be treated like an idiot by the movie when they say, like, well, don't you remember the big invasion of New York where Iron Man got really depressed because he flew through a space hole? Like, they don't do that. You know, things like that are just kind of brushed off. In the comic, it would be like a little box in the corner that says, read Avengers number 2, editor. So I think, overall, I give it 4.5 shields out of 5 shields. Is there half shields? You can't break a shield. It's vibranium. But yeah, if you have any questions or comments, let me know. Oh no, 1 more second. Bye.